numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. How you doing? Day two with Parlay. How you doing, man?
Did you see Kelly Bidlin's tweet yesterday of arriving to Florida and immediately finding some what could only be described as you know, like those things where you open the top of it and then more like little things come out of it as you go along?
What kind of description was that? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't remember what they're called. Isaiah's going to have to tell me what they're called. Matryoshka dolls, apparently.
Oh, we're talking about an item in his hand.
Yes.
You didn't give any scale
anything
on that.
It's tweeted on Bidlin's Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So it's worth it. There's some good stuff there. Kelly Bidlin, good content, Gil.
He does have good content. Jeff with me, producer number 5 and 8, Jeff with me through the week. And then Wyatt and Jeff early next week. Kelly's return Thursday. A big eggnog challenge on Friday that everybody's looking forward to.
What are the exact parameters there?
We negotiated half a gallon in 1 hour and 25 minutes.
How long does he have to keep it down afterwards?
There is no stipulation as such.
Wow.
He can, if he gets down to the bottom, I don't care what he does after that.
I think he's going to do it.
400 United States dollars.
I think he's going to do it.
I don't think he is. Because I saw him try to do it in 2 hours. So I kind of know what his limitations are. We'll see. Look forward to that next week. Today, on the show, Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. During the crack segment, a little drop in by J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick, Jeff, who played for some great teams, obviously, through his career in Orlando and in Los Angeles, even in Philadelphia as well. We'll talk to him about what he thinks about the NBA state of affairs today, the Warriors, who he thinks is overvalued, who he thinks is undervalued. We'll get into it with J.J. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, talk NFL with us. John Legesa, always a good bit of energy. Nice little instant offense energy shot from Legesa to talk NFL with him. He's got thoughts on Thursday Night Football tonight between the Jets and the Jaguars. And before we get to that, Jeff will as well. We don't typically, Jeff. Oh, by the way, I didn't mean to do 3 days of Survivor in a row, but after the Ryan Tannehill news came down yesterday, it will be Malik Willis. I think we have to at least revisit it for a minute or two because the Tennessee option becomes much less favorable, I would think. Well, let's just ask that question. We'll get to that as well. Teasers. And we don't ever really start or we don't ever really do a weather segment on this show ever because, you know, it's not really our thing. We don't really do weather on the threes, if you will, Jeffrey, that news radio kind of thing. But if there was ever a week to just sort of scan the NFL landscape and go through some of these, this would be that. So, and again, when the phrases bomb, cyclone, and polar vortex are in our vernacular, we probably should do that. What are you a bigger fan of, the bomb, cyclone, or the polar vortex?
They're both very quality names.
They really are.
They both sound dangerous. They both sound like not a good time. But I think the bomb, cyclone sounds more menacing.
Bomb, cyclone. Let me give credit here, too, because big shout-out to Douglas Clawson, Chris Towers, R.J. White, who did a piece at CBS Sportsline about this as well, because they're all over the weather reports on these games. And we'll crescendo up to the Jets and Jaguars tonight. But let's just broadly, 8 games on Saturday, currently scheduled for temperatures below 35 degrees. 7 games scheduled to be played in freezing temperatures, which would be the most in a single day since 2000. So that's what we're looking at this weekend. 7 games scheduled to be played in freezing temperatures. That'll be the most since the year 2000. 6 games are scheduled to be played in freezing temperatures and 10-plus mile-per-hour winds. That'd be 2 more games than any other single day since at least 2000 as well. And here's where it gets really interesting for us as bettors. The wind. So now when wind hits 15 miles per hour, that's usually the number that we've given on this show, 15 miles. Once it gets to 15 miles per hour, then it becomes a thing. And when that happens, you lose about a touchdown compared with indoor games and 4 points from an average game. So there's 2 games this week that will absolutely fall into this category. And that will be the Saints and the Browns and the Bills and the Bears, which we'll get to momentarily. Now, when you have the cold weather with the wind, There's been 44 games since 2000 that have featured freezing temperatures and 15-plus mile-per-hour winds. Those games average 37.9 points per game. And in perspective of the 32 teams in the NFL this year, only the Broncos have a lower combined scoring average in their games this year. So this is an epic, epic week of weather when you juxtapose it against the entire decade worth of weather in the National Football League. So let's do these one by one. We don't go through all of them, but we'll go through just the games that are impacted, beginning with those two that I mentioned. So Saints at the Browns. Browns favored by 2.5, Jeffrey. The total is 32.5. Expected temperature, 12 degrees. It's going to feel like minus 18. Winds, 29 miles per hour with gusts up to 63 miles per hour in good old Cleveland. Cloudy, snow shower, very cold, blowing and drifting snow. Could be the first game with 25-plus mile-per-hour winds since the Pats-Bills, remember that game in Buffalo with the crosswinds? Remember when Lombardi violently disagreed with me about the direction of the wind in that game? That game where the Patriots, I think, threw three forward passes, if I'm not mistaken.
On the night, that was when we thought the Bills were terrible.
Yeah, this is going to be that on steroids, perhaps. Now, it's weather, right? So we always have to say perhaps. But that's this. And by the way, Deshaun Watson will have never played in a game this cold either. Last week was his low, you know, temperature game at 32 degrees against the Ravens. So the question becomes, is 32.5 low enough?
Well, here's the thing. Even if there wasn't weather, you could still see a scenario where these two teams didn't get to 32.5.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, it's a very good question. And again, you're dealing with New Orleans. Even though their defense is underachieved, they're very physical. But you have a team that, in theory, should be able to run the ball in Cleveland. But we know what Stefanski has done this year.
Bills at the Bears. Bills favored by 8.5. Totals at 40.5. This one not quite as bad, but bad. 9 degrees. We're talking Fahrenheit here, Jeffrey. Not Kelvin. Oh, we have 12 degrees on the screen. Did I get it wrong on my screen?
These are up to the date.
Oh, up to date. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, so these are 12 degrees. They're going to feel like minus 13. 20 miles per hour wind. Gust up to 37. I mean, that's horrific. Cloudy with blowing and drifting snow. Winter storm watch in effect today, or tonight, I should say, through tomorrow night. Who knows what the weather could extend. Josh Allen, very good, though, traditionally in the cold weather. So we don't tend to put as much on this one. But keep an eye on that weather for whatever bets you make on the Bills and the Bears. Texans at the Titans. Updated weather. Now, the Titans have never played a home game in Tennessee with a kickoff temperature below 23 degrees. Again, shout out to the CBS Sports Line for that little factoid. This is expected to be 20 degrees with a feel of 6, 14 mile per hour winds, gusts up to 33 miles per hour. Total 35.5, Titans by 3. Now, here's the thing about this. This is Malik Willis now, but the Titans can still rely on Derrick Henry, right? So does this become more of a Titans lean even with Malik Willis in this kind of temperature and this kind of winds? I think that's the question you have to ask yourself. For as much of a ding as you get, whatever ding you think that is from Tannehill to Willis, maybe some people don't think it's that big of a deal. I'll suggest that it might be. But the Derrick Henry factor, I think, maybe makes this even more of an advantage, Titans, you could argue. And then there's the Bengals at the Patriots. There's a few more. There's a lot more of these. Bengals, 3.5-point favorites at the Patriots. This is Saturday as well. Totals 41.5. 27 degrees, feel of 10, 17 mile per hour winds, gust up to 37 miles per hour, 40% chance of precipitation. Oh, by the way, maybe a snow shower. Joe Burrow, though, in his coldest games of his career, 5-0 with a 119.9 passer rating. And how do the Patriots bounce back from that horrific loss this past weekend? Seahawks at the Chiefs. Telling you, man, polar vortexes and bomb cyclones are no joke. It's affecting all these games. Seahawks at the Chiefs, 12 degrees, going to feel like minus 4, 14 mile per hour wind. So here's where it gets, you know, gust up to 30, though, right? Just keep an eye on that. Patrick Mahomes doesn't care about freezing temperatures. He's 8-1 in freezing temperatures. Falcons at the Ravens. Ravens favored by 7, total 35.5. Falcons haven't won a game with kickoff temperatures of 25 degrees or colder since 1966. Oh, my God. It's going to be 22. 14 mile per hour winds, gust up to 33. I mean, you've got to check the weather up until game time in all these games.
Do we know who's playing quarterback yet for Baltimore?
We don't. We're assuming it's Huntley, but you know what they say about assuming. Lions, 2.5-point favorites at the Panthers. Jared Goff, famously with the Jared Goff cold face that we've seen through the years. Going to be 9 miles per hour, but gust up to 23. Maybe he catches a break there. But as fantasy players could tell you, he's not good through the years in cold. And then there's the Raiders at the Steelers, with the Steelers favored by 2.5. This one could be brutal, too. 16-mile-per-hour winds, gust up to 32. Cloudy and very cold with a snow shower. And remember, what's on the line here, besides mathematical playoff possibilities, mathematical chances, are the fact that Mike Tomlin, in case you haven't heard, has never had a season where the Steelers have finished below 500. Which brings us to tonight's game, which we'll get Legace's feelings about here after the break. But, Jeff, you're the resident Jets fan. Jets favored by 2. It's Zach Wilson. We will have Zonovan Knight for the Jets. We will have Quinnen Williams for the Jets tonight. What do you think? Total 37. Rain, absolutely going to be a situation. The wind, right around 10 to 15 miles per hour. So, right now, not an issue, but could be.
The concern is that's going to spike as the game goes along. That's right. The concern. Again, the reason this is getting bet like it is, bettors think the Jet defense is the best unit in this game, which is correct. They are the best unit in this game. No plays in this game, only because I do not trust number 2 at all.
I'm on the Jags because I think that's the difference, right? I think he makes one mistake that tips the scales to the Jaguars. But boy, do the Jets love having Quinnen Williams back for this one. He made all the difference in that Bills game. His absence did anyway. John Legace has thoughts and bets on tonight's Thursday night football game between the Jags and the Jets. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is in for Kelly Bidlin the rest of this week. By the way, Kelly tweeting in here, we get tweets from our own producers. We get tweets. Kelly says this out loud. He says, "Wait, I can get Sunday ticket and Jeff Parlay." And he says, and in parentheses, he says, "And I guess the rest of VSiN now on YouTube TV. Sign me up." Jeff, what he's referring to is something that we briefly mentioned yesterday on the show.
Yeah, so this was trending in this direction the last 48 hours. So NFL Sunday Ticket is officially moving to YouTube TV and YouTube primetime channels. That is starting next year. It is a 7-year deal with the NFL and Google / YouTube, since, of course, the Alphabet company owns YouTube. So, look, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I think one thing we're going to realize very quickly, that once the initial technological kinks are worked out, The system is going to work a lot better than the current one.
And VSiN
with NFL Sunday Ticket, and it is great for us.
VSiN is part of the YouTube TV package, right? And that spells the end of DirecTV as well in its relationship with NFL.
Yeah, I think everyone has been ready to hit the big X at the bottom of their bills here.
I moved to San Francisco the year that DirecTV started with the NFL package. Do you know how much I paid for the dish? So now keep in mind, my biggest concern leaving D.C. was, am I not going to be able, this is how primitive we were then. Kids today can't even imagine this. But the thought then was, oh my God, I won't be able to see my team play because I'm moving across country. And then the advent of this thing called DirecTV happened. You know how much I pay for the dish? $1,000 United States dollars just for the dish itself. And would have happily paid $10,000. And now 30 years later, the evolution of all of it, as we stream and stream some more, and now YouTube TV. This is awesome.
Well, one quick other note real quick. Sirianni saying earlier today, it's looking like Gardner Minshew is going to start in Dallas. We figured that based off the move anyway. And Gardner Minshew got all the starters reps today. So
There
that
you go.
Assumption is going to happen in all likelihood.
So Jalen Hurts appears to be going to miss one game at the very minimum, as we surmised. Before we get to Legesa here, one more thing about the last segment. And again, we don't typically do weather on the ones here on the show. But if ever there was a week to do it with a polar vortex and a bomb cyclone in the NFL, this was that week. A couple of things. The nice part about the show is we get guest of the show to text in. Lou Finicaro, Jeffrey. Sweet Lou. Gamblu. He says that he's been teasing potential weather games down for a few weeks for this week. And then Steve Fezzik, our buddy who's on the show. Steve, little pro tip, little pro secret for weeks like this. You ready? You know which way he's going on this? It's a really low total weeks and weather weeks like this in the NFL. A great week to play the Sunday Grand Salami over. A bet that normally wouldn't be on necessarily on folks' radars. A great week to play the Sunday Grand Salami over. Many games likely just barely go under, but a few will typically still explode high. And rather than trying to determine which of those games specifically, the Grand Salami, cast a wider net on that. The mean average scoring is typically higher than the median, so if half of the games go over, the salami over is likely to win. Talking about both Saturday and Sunday games now. So thank you to both Lou and to Fezzik for those little thoughts on that. John Legesa joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, from the Mayo Media Network. He writes for The Athletic. John, how are you, man?
Happy and healthy holidays to you and yours, Gil. I appreciate you, man.
Well, did you say happy and healthy there? Is that what I just heard you say? Because
happy and healthy, maybe yes. More important than being happy, right?
So that's what I wanted to ask you about on the top. You had a bit of a health scare, did you not? And I'm being understating on that.
Yeah. Listen, these things happen, and you would never know it from my daily show and demeanor in the world, because when things are outside of your control, right, the things that I preach in betting, I also preach in life and try and practice myself, which is why I hope people gravitate towards me. But, I had some, the last couple of weeks were pretty scary. We got a real scare. We went for our test and, thank the good, whatever you believe in out there, the good grace of somebody, has given me another whirl at this, because it came back clean.
Beautiful.
And as if you didn't think right, I was appreciative enough, man. I'll tell you, just be good, people. I've been telling people the last 24 hours, build instead of destroy. Before the year is over, build one thing rather than destroy it.
Great advice. John, we love you. We're happy that you got that you got those results.
Thank you, man.
And so,
I know, wow.
And so because you had those results, I feel very good in then transitioning and asking you, what about this game tonight, Johnny? Jaguars
right.
And Jets. What are you doing on the side
all right,
on the total?
Let's go get it.
Get it.
Yeah, this is really like the bad, and the ugly, right? So I have a couple leans. I haven't pulled the trigger yet on the sides because I was waiting for the line to move. Okay, so right off the bat, I'm leaning on the under because of the win, bad quarterback play, and the Jets defense. But I wanted to highlight again, just really quick for all the novices out there, the cost per point stuff that I've been barking about forever, today is the best example. The spread is 2.5 points. The money line is -130, depending on the start. Meaning, if you like Jacksonville, you must take the points. If you like the Jets, I'm not telling you which side to take, bet the money line. It's not worth it to have to cover 2.5 points when you could get the money line at -130. Please, everybody, take that with you going forward. It's really going to help you along the edges, which, if you're betting a lot, really matters. All right, that Jets defense I was talking about, come on, man. We got to love it. Objectively elite, top five across the board. Points per game, yards per game, scoring drive allowed, yards per drive, EPA per dropback. I'm not done. Opposing passer rating, passing yards per game. The 20-yard completions and passing touchdowns also really what's important. They're getting Quinn and Williams back. The Jets have a top 10 pressure rate on a bottom 5 blitz rate. That is the crux, right? The lodestar of that defense. They create pressure without having to bring the blitz. As good as Trevor Lawrence has been, 11 touchdowns to 1 interception since the bye, 112 passer rating. The Jaguars lost their starting left tackle. Cam Robinson is out. I don't think Jacksonville mans up man-to-man against these Jets. They're very good on the outside with Reed, with Gardner. I'd love to bet on the Jets, and I'd love to bet on the under, but that bad quarterback play that helps unders people can also hurt it, because Zach Wilson, unfortunately, is like a walking pick six. Every single week, he makes one of the – I'm sorry. Listen, I love the Jets, and I really like Zach Wilson. Tell me that duck ball that he threw that Michael Carter caught was not one of the singular worst passes you will ever see. It just doesn't end up in the box score because it got caught. It was awful. Zach Wilson, very hard to bet on. One consistent thing we have seen is where I'm going with my money is Garrett Wilson. I mean, awesome. Again, with Zach Wilson, he was the top target, got 9 of those last week. Over 90 receiving yards, 5 of the last 7. Okay, 90% route participation, all the stuff we're looking for. And Jacksonville defense, last eight, you know, that's a pretty decent sample. Dead last against the slot, minus 52 EPA against the slot. These are averages, people. 9.4 receptions, 125 receiving yards, more than two touchdowns per game. That's against the slot. So I really like Garrett Wilson, and I've been telling people with these props. So I like all props. You can get 60 receiving yards for plus 105, a nice plus EV bet. I think we go over. However, where we've seen, Gil, right, it's all about sustainability and adjusting to the market like we did with the F5s in baseball. The too high shell is forcing work in the middle. We're watching the clock tick. That's been the reason for the decrease in scoring, right? Drives have to do more. That works in our favor now with Wilson, even with a not-so-great Zach Wilson. I think they're going to get it done. So that's where I'm going, Garrett Wilson. But you can build up those props, people. If you have R, let's say it's 10, 100, 1,000, whatever it is, take 60% of that, 70% of that, put it on the plus 100. If you hit, you have a 20% ROI, you move forward. If Wilson hits that 90 plateau that he hit five of the last seven, for example, today's 90 receiving yard all prop, Gil, is plus 370. He did it five of the last seven. Why is it plus 370 against the worst slot defense in the league? I'm not so sure, but that's how I've been attacking these prop plays, is building these ladders where if I hit the bottom parameter, it's a winning venture, and then I move forward. What do you think, man?
I like your thinking. Let me just ask you, because we only have 60 seconds here, let me just ask you a potential in-game question here.
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be rain. If the wind picks up, let's say it starts, you know, second quarter, whatever, for in-game thoughts, which team, advantage which team if that happens?
Well, I think it's to the Jets. Because, again, they're going to be looking to attack the middle of the field. Wilson has green, he's not been great. His arm strength is there. So he can whip it against the wind. We've seen Josh Allen do that. Quarterbacks can beat the wind if you're keeping the A dot around 10 or below, where I know we're going to be getting Wilson. So I'm behind that all the way. Again, if I felt great about it, Gil, I'd really be backing the Jets. But it's tough because the run defenses are going on both sides. And, again, I expect Zach Wilson to throw a pick in his own, you know, side of the field, which kills team totals and it kills unders because these lines are so sharp, something we also talk about.
Hey, John, I'm curious. How do you feel about Zach Wilson? I really didn't get that out of this.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's you're going to have to, Jets have to move on. Jets have to move on. Listen, you have to make the easy throws. If we got a guy like Mike White looking three greater than signs better than Zach Wilson, you have your answer, I think.
John, I speak for on behalf of everybody. We're happy that you got favorable results,
everybody.
My man.
Happy holidays, everybody. I love you all. Build one thing, please, for me.
Happy holidays to John Legesa and to all. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
At John Legesa on Twitter. Coming back, teasers. And yes, we have to revisit Survivor again because of this Malik Willis news.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN has you covered. We have picks, spreads, and totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage while you're there. Now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. For only $79, you get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Nice of South Alabama to show up yesterday, Jeffrey. You see that?
They were great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. First of all, why was that game on at 6 p.m. Pacific? What was that?
That's the New Orleans Bowl tradition. You got to play it at 8 o'clock local time.
That's what they do?
Even though they moved the date of it, it's always been that late for whatever reason.
Only to have everybody see South Alabama just have enjoyed what New Orleans has to offer, I guess, before the game.
You can't really blame them, right?
And that's the thing with bowl games, right? We talk when Preston and I used to do college bowl specials or whatever we used to do on the Beating the Book podcast, that was always a tenant too. Know the location, right? Know if those kids are going to be distracted. We don't know if the kids were distracted by that, but we can only assume. Air Force, as long as they get it done today, it'll all be water under the bridge.
So what you're telling me, that kids are more likely to be distracted in New Orleans than Shreveport.
Listen, Jeff, I've done a very good study on this subject. And yes, the answer is yes. Very scientific study. One more thing on Zach Wilson, because Jeff and I, by the way, Western Kentucky winning that 44-23. That game was donezo before you could. It was like 24-0.
It was 31 points midway through the third quarter.
You blink an eye. Okay, so by the way, before we get into these the Survivor and teaser, we were talking a little bit about Zach Wilson off air, obviously the Jets and the Jaguars tonight. And we'll get Eric Eager's thoughts from Pro Football Focus a little later. Crack will be here, Unscripted with the Crackman, J.J. Redick coming up on the show. Talk basketball with us. But just off air, we're talking about the whole Zach Wilson experience and you and Will Hill and LeGaysa, all you guys love the Jets and all. Everybody's like, it's over. Like, this guy's terrible. I still contend, and we talked about this off air, I still contend that press conference after that Patriots game is still the thing that is going to ultimately have the most impact. Sure, he's been all, by the way, after that Patriots game, if you recall the stats on that game, this was week 11, where the Jets had 6 first downs, 2 by penalty, 9 pass completions, 10 punts, and 103 total yards, didn't cross their own 35 in the second half, and had 2 yards of offense in the second half, punting on all 7 possessions. How's that for a stat potpourri? That was the one where he didn't take responsibility after the game, right, in the press conference. And I still think that had that gone differently, he would have much more of a groundswell of support, both with teammates, with fans, with everybody. But because of that, it's like, no, we have no interest in this dude.
I don't know if I'm willing to go with the groundswell of support. I would be going with the leash would be a lot longer than it ended up being.
Right. That, however you want to
catch it. Yeah, I would say that. He would not only have not been benched, he would have been the starter week 1 next year.
And it also doesn't help. And then Mike White.
Yeah, Mike
so
White,
well.
Though, again, they went 1-2 in the 3 White games and struggled to score in the red zone against Minnesota, it's obvious that Mike White's a better quarterback than he is.
So usually on this show, we do like a segment of Survivor a week, if that. Well, we usually do a segment. Rarely do we 2. We never do 3. But because now Ryan Tannehill is likely, that's the word they're using, likely out for the season. By the way, what does that say about the Titans, that he played the rest of the game? Like, Malik Willis played 1 drive in that game last week for the Titans against the Chargers. So again, Circus Survivor down to 14 entries, and each with the intrinsic value of $438,071.43. But of all the big favorites this week, favorites of over 3.5 points, the only one available to any of the 14 is the Titans. 13 of the remaining 14 have the Titans. So the question that I was asking prior to yesterday, by the way, we're talking about the Chiefs, the Bills, the Niners, the Ravens, the Cowboys, none of those teams are available to anybody. Only the Titans of 7-point favorites against Houston, 13 of the 14 have the Titans available. And what I was asking before was, all right, well, 2 have the Vikings. They've got to absolutely play the Vikings. 2 have the Bengals. Well, those people aren't going to play the Bengals because they've been saving the Bengals all year for the bonus, the $1 million bonus at the end. If you get the Bengals and the Rams through all the way, they're clearly saving that team. My question to you, Jeffrey, now is this. Now that it's Willis and not Tannehill, Willis, who famously in his 1 drive was called for intentional grounding on a free play, just amazing. Do the 2 people that have the Bengals, who, by the way, are separate from the 2 people that have the Vikings, do they now have to, they got to change their thinking, right? They've got to say to themselves, okay, do we trust Malik Willis for the notion of this $1 million bonus, or do we say, nope, we throw the bonus out, this was a good enough reason to do so, and we'll play the Bengals and we'll watch carnage elsewhere, because other people now are going to be forced to play Malik Willis and the Titans or some other random team of less than a 3-point favorite. The counterargument being, as we talked about in the first segment, the weather is such in Tennessee that a team that is already going to be reliant on Derrick Henry is now even going to be more so reliant on Derrick Henry. And oh, by the way, what a great weapon to have in this very circumstance. So maybe as many people as we thought would be off the Titans actually won't be. I still think the Titans are going to be the most selected team this week. But do the 2 Bengals players get rid of the bonus or just stop the notion of the bonus and play the Bengals? What would you do if you had them available, if you were one of those 2?
Oh, man. I would have, first off, I would have already played the Bengals, so I wouldn't have even been in this circumstance. Yeah, I think you got to at this rate. You can't, I mean, like Willis can barely complete a forward pass at this rate, at this stage of development of his NFL career. So, yeah, if I had Cincinnati available, I would use him, and Mac Jones beat me. Matt Patricia beat me. Go ahead at that point.
Imagine just of these remaining guys, and it's 13, right, because 1 has 2 entries. Imagine their daily lives, though, pondering these questions as their wife and their girlfriends or their significant others talk to them about some other random subject, and they're like, yeah, whatever, honey, You know, and in their head, all they're thinking is Malik Willis or the Bengals. Life-changing decisions.
If you're the guy who has two left, if he somehow survives today and Saturday with both left, is that the time to split once you get to Christmas?
Here's the thing. He was probably thinking he was playing the Titans on both, I would imagine. He has the Titans available on both. Maybe now he's got to do Splitsville.
You take Tennessee on one and go with a different team on another?
Hey, they've gotten this far. Who are we to give advice?
Tough. Very tough.
But I do think the Minnesota, too, have to play it, and I think they will. And I do think it'll be interesting if one of the Bengals decides no more bonus. Malik Willis is a bridge too far. And then there's teaser options in Week 16, as Will Hill said yesterday on the show. This is a big teaser option week. There are a lot of Wong and Wong-esque teaser options. The Jags tonight perhaps being the first and foremost, most obvious, teasing them up through the 3 and the 7. Bills tease down through the 7 and 3 against the Bears. Saints, you can tease up through the 3 and the 7. Who are the Saints playing again off the top of my head?
Jeff? Cleveland.
Cleveland, of course. We talked about that weather game. Panthers, you can tease up through the 3 and the 7. These are all Wong teasers. So they're available as well are the Panthers. And so those are all options. Then you have the Ravens essentially teased down to win. The 49ers teased down essentially to win against the Commanders. I get it, from 7 to 1. Raiders Wong through the 3 and the 7 in their game against the Steelers. The Rams through the 3 and the 7 in their blockbuster game against the Broncos, is it? Is that who the Rams are playing? Yeah. And then the Bucks essentially teased down. You can tease them down through the 7 and 3. Also Wongian. Stanford Wong, real name John Ferguson. You can do that with the Bucks against the Trace McSorley-led Cardinals. What are your favorite? We're going to do this on the Megapod tomorrow. The Megapod with Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parles, and I, and Matt Eumanns, VEASAN's own Matt Eumanns, the guest of the week. Medical Marvel Matt Eumanns. What's your favorite two here? 6.2 leg two team teaser.
I have no idea. Because if you're going off of basically the weather, the low total weather games, if you can get New Orleans to 8.5 and a total of 32, by the math, you're supposed to do that.
Yes, you are.
Yes. By the math, you're supposed to do that. Now, who knows what if the weather actually comes to fruition, and then all of a sudden we've got a team that I don't really like in any.
But shouldn't you do that? To your point, shouldn't you just say to yourself, let me remove myself from all of this. Let me remove myself from this equation, and let me just play the math one.
Right. Well, that is the mathiest of all the ones this week. So I guess by default, you have to play it in some fashion. And then other than that, I mean, as ridiculous as this will sound, Baker Mayfield and the Rams is one that I would probably consider, because Denver's not capable of, other than last week, Russell Wilson back, not capable of winning on the road by more than a touchdown, I don't think.
Watch the Broncos win. Yeah, Broncos win
31-3, yeah.
13-3 or something like that. Who do you trust the least of the Bills teased? Well, let's throw them out. Of all the 7s and the 7.5s, who do you trust the least? Niners against the Commanders to just basically have to win. Ravens to just basically have to win that one. And then the Bucks to just basically have to win against the Cardinals.
I think Baltimore, but man, Tampa just looks so bad. It just looks so terrible.
Somebody's losing, by the way. One of those. Ravens, by the way, taking on the Desmond Ritter-led Falcons, of course. Eric Eager has thoughts on all things Week 16 and beyond for Pro Football Focus. Used to be Pro Football Focus, now Sumer Media. That's next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on any Monday or Thursday night pro football game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. This offer is available all season long. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first touchdown in any Monday or Thursday pro football game, including tonight's. And if your bet misses, you'll you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Dom Perignon. Can we get a line up on the number of Ice Bowl references, montages we get from broadcast this weekend? Blind over bet. It's probably true. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for A Numbers Game. Nice to listen to producer 5 and 8 in the AM, or as he calls you, 5 and 8. Shall we call him 9.5? No, he's 5 and 8. Talk about Jeffrey Parles in the producer lineup. I hear YouTube is looking for a couple of hosts who specialize in gambling content. Gil Alexander from DC, Opportunity Knock. Gee Weezy. Yes, I think I paid $900 for the dish alone back then. A year later, it was free. Oh, talking about how I paid $1,000 for the DirecTV dish back in 1995, the first year of DirecTV. People chiming in on that. Todd Bubba Horwitz. When you bought your DirecTV dish, RCA had the rights to sell the first 500,000 units, hence the high price. We all paid high because it was the best game in town. YouTube, here I come. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And this one from P. Scott 44, still laughing at Monday's guessing lines. Curb Stomp needs to be added to the bingo card. Best two-hour show going. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, he used to come on our show when he was back at Pro Football Focus. Now he's applying his trade at Sumer Sports. He's our buddy, Dr. Eric Eager, still on the NFL these days. How you doing, Eric?
Gil, I'm doing great. It's been a fun season. Congratulations to all of you that cashed the Lions over last week with 3 weeks to spare. And we move on to week 16 now.
Never in doubt with the Lions. Never in doubt.
Ever. Not once.
Not once when they were, 1-6 at one point, were they? Let me ask you about tonight's game. I know you have some thoughts. I know you have a bet on the Jaguars and the Jets tonight.
Yeah, I do like the Jaguars. I will say, with Quinnen Williams possibly playing and with the weather the way it is, I think that there are going to be sharp bettors who disagree with me and are going to push this number out, much like last week where, Gil, you probably back me up on this, but like there's just like groups of bettors that move markets that really like defense, and the Jets, really do have a legitimate NFL defense, and they're much like last week with Detroit, you got a little swing back to the Lions late in the week because of the Zach Wilson news. But as that thing trended towards game time, you got Jets money. I think you're going to get Jets money again tonight. So if you are like me and you like the Jaguars, and I like the Jaguars to win the AFC South, they have for a few weeks now. Wait, and you could get probably an expensive +3, which I think with the weather being the way it's going to be, and Zach Wilson's, let's just say level of play would be a good bet for me.
Take a little Zach Wilson shot at the back end there. To me, the wind, right? Like that's going to be the biggest determinant of a move on this total for sure. If it picks up early, we could see that moving a little lower than it is already. 37 is where it is right now. What's your beyond tonight? What's your favorite bets Saturday primarily and then beyond? Obviously, most of the games on Saturday this week.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, to me, this is a fun week of football. When I look at this week, I'm gonna go back to the well, but I do think the Detroit Lions laying 2.5 on the road against the Panthers. Panthers were 3-point favorites by the time it closed against Pittsburgh, against a backup quarterback at home, and they just simply could not stop the yards after the catch, and they could not stop Mitch Trubisky of all people. The Lions come at you with a better offensive line, a better set of receivers, a quarterback who's better than Mitch Trubisky. And, I just think it's a bad matchup. You're going to see weather in this game, which, Detroit, I think, fares well in. And the Panthers want to be able to run the ball with the guys that Christian McCaffrey was replaced by. And they've done mostly well. But you look at Detroit, the last, five games, they've only really allowed one 100-yard rushing game. And that was the game with Josh Allen running the football at times for Buffalo. So I think that Detroit laying 2.5 is a really solid play there, but that does always feel like my answer to these questions. So I'm going to give one more, and I think I like New Orleans getting 3 in Cleveland with a total of 32, a total that would make Army Navy blush.
Yes, it would, and that is of all the polar vortex or a bomb cyclone games this week, that's the one that's supposed to have the worst of all the weather. with just massive gusts of winds up north of 60 miles per hour, the gust that is. And we were talking about the Saints as a teaser option being probably the most favorable with that low of a total. Teasing the Saints seems like the obvious play to make here. Deshaun Watson not played in a game this cold in his NFL career as well, so that ought to be an interesting football game to say the least among a whole bunch of weather-impacted games, one would think, with the weather forecast as they are right now. I asked this of Mike Pritchard yesterday on the show. I'll ask this of you, which is, given the team in each conference right now, as we are 3 weeks shy of the postseason, that most people aren't thinking about. So we're not talking about the Chiefs or the Eagles or the Bills at the top. And maybe even not the next year, though we'll allow the next year. But what's the team headed in the postseason that is the proverbial team no one should want to play and could actually make a conference championship, if not a Super Bowl run?
Right. So I think you want to eliminate in the NFC Dallas, San Francisco, Philadelphia. From the conversation, I think in the AFC, you want to eliminate the Cincinnati Bengals, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. So I'm throwing those guys out. But I think in the AFC, it's the Chargers. Justin Herbert kind of reminds me, you know, he has a better arm, but, you know, from a talent standpoint, a young career Eli Manning, where, you know, that team is never going to really put it together that well consistently. But when they do, the quarterback has enough talent to get them over the hump, much like the Giants did twice over the last couple decades. And then in the NFC, to me, and I hate this because I still want Detroit to make the playoffs, but I think at 60-1, Green Bay, if they win out, that's going to be a tough matchup for any team in the NFC. Right now, the way that the playoffs are constructed in the NFC, Dak Prescott is the best NFC playoff quarterback. If you throw Aaron Rodgers coming off of what would end up being a 5-game winning streak going into the playoffs, I think that that would be a team that a lot of people would fear.
Wow. Okay. And the converse of that, which of the teams that you threw out, right, that we didn't include in that category just now, which of the conventional wisdom teams that are the favorites, which is the most vulnerable to you?
It sounds weird because right now I think Cincinnati's playing as well as any team in the AFC, but you know, generally speaking, the team that peaks right now is not the team you want to bet on. So I think Cincinnati, you know, they're with a tough start at 3-4, getting all the way to where they are now, much like Kansas City last year, who started 3-4, they lost the game at the end of the season, second to last game of the year to Cincinnati. And you could just tell in the playoffs, by the time it got to the AFC Championship game, they were just a little tired. And I think the Bengals trying to live up to expectations for last year, they're great. They're much better than they were last year. But they have a Buffalo game at home this week or 2 weeks from now. I think that's going to drain a lot of their system, and so I think that's a team that, while very impressive right now, will run out of gas by the time the playoffs start.
Wow, I did not expect either of the answers of the Packers on the one hand or the Bengals on this one. You live in Cincinnati as well, do you not, Eric? Just throwing that in.
I do, yeah. And I went to the game where they beat the Chiefs. They were the better team. Against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. I think right now when you look historically at teams that have won the Super Bowl, it's teams that are kind of percolating beneath the surface this time of year. So think Buffalo, think Kansas City, think Dallas off a couple disappointing losses here. Even Philadelphia now that they're going to probably lose a couple games with Minshew at quarterback. Those are the teams that, you know, end up having enough energy. The ones that have to surge this time of year are oftentimes a little bit worn out by the time it gets to playoff time.
All right, I know this isn't the Megapod, but let me ask you the two final Megapod questions on the way out, which is, of the big favorites, which is the most likely to lose outright this week? Bills 8.5 at the Bears. We got the Chiefs 10-point favorites against the Seahawks. The Ravens 7-point favorites against the Falcons at home. Niners 7-point favorites at home against the Commanders. Cowboys, well, I won't throw that in because you might answer that. 6 points against the Eagles. We'll throw that one. That's not included. Buccaneers 7.5 at the Cardinals. Which is the most likely to lose outright?
The Bucs are the easy answer, but I can't see them losing. It's the Ravens. I just think the Ravens without Lamar or with Lamar injured are just a really vulnerable football team. And the Falcons don't do a lot of things well, but they do run the football well, and they do. And that kind of game will limit possessions. And, you know, the Ravens have just been a team that has made a lot of mistakes this year. And when you have a low possession game, the mistakes are magnified.
And game you want no part of is?
Man, since Minnesota-New York.
Minnesota-New York. The Giants and the Vikings. The Fraudulent Bowl, as we like to call it. Eric, what's the podcast for folks?
Sumer Sports Show with Eric Eager and Thomas Dimitroff. You can get it on all your podcast platforms and YouTube. We record Monday and Wednesday.
Thank you, Eric. Dr. Eric Eager, everybody. At Eric Eager _ on Twitter. Unscripted with the Crack Man next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.